Love music. Live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.
It is just after 8 o'clock this Monday evening. Hope your week has started well. Welcome to this week's Tapes Up, Rock Sport Radio's weekly spotlight on Scottish Speedway. A chance to talk about all things Glasgow Tigers, Edinburgh Monarchs and Berwick Bandits. Good evening to you, Derek Smith here. A new week begins, a new month begins, but still a constant of another hour of Speedway chat to look forward to. Thanks for the feedback on last week's show, and to Dave Harley for once again for his input. In the studio tonight is another Monarchs empathiser. Welcome back to the Father Christmas-like tones of Mr. Stuart Wilson. Good evening, Stuart.
Good evening, Derek, and good to be back.
Gosh, you make me sound so less than baritone, Stuart. It's been a hectic Scottish Derby-filled weekend for us both, Stuart, as supporters of Edinburgh and Glasgow, respectively. We will come to all of that shortly for your State of the Nation-style address. Let us now, though, take a look at how we line up on tonight's show. First then, and certainly not least, we will examine Friday night's opening salvos as the Monarchs welcomed the Tigers to a sun-strown Armadale Stadium. It really was. We will hear from Josh Pickering and Michael Max, not the rider. On Saturday night, Berwick Bandits would look to get back into winning ways as they tackled Scunthorpe at Shieldfield Park. Then yesterday afternoon, it was Derby Day Part 2 as all roads led to Glasgow's Ashfield Stadium. Would it be honours even or double trouble come the final chequered flag? We'll hear from Paul Stark and Conor Bailey. And of course, we will look ahead to all this week's action, and there's plenty, as Glasgow and Redcar fight for a Knockout Cup semi-final spot. The Tigers chase league points at Birmingham midweek. Berwick head to Scunthorpe and Edinburgh trek to faraway Eastbourne. All to come. Let's go back then to Friday night. Just a month since losing at home in the Championship Shield to rivals Glasgow, Edinburgh would once again line up against the Tigers, this time on league duty. Monarchs have been forced into a few changes, with Victor Pallavaara now back in the starting lineup. Connor Coles introduces a short-term injury replacement for Luke Ruddock, and Kyle Howarth covering as guest for Josh Pickering. Tigers were at full strength, with Conor Bailey making his Armadale debut. Stuart, coming to the meeting itself in just a minute, but Monarchs no doubt feeling a bit battered and bruised recently. Would it be fair of me to suggest that they look all the better, though, for those changes to the lineup?
Yeah, I think they do, but we're still limping along a wee bit. It's good to have Victor back. He's a bit of an influence in the team, and he gets on very well with everybody and rides extremely well with Ricky. But we're missing Josh tremendously, and he's a big impact player for us. So we're just hanging in there. It's a big test for us just now that we've got to come through.
Absolutely, and it's still relatively early season. I say that with a slight hesitance in my voice because, you know, we're now into July, and you know, July, August, September, middle of September normally is the cut-off point, isn't it, for the playoff places?
Yeah, well, I'm getting a bit worried already because we've had a couple of rain-offs already. Our Leicester match and the match at Berwick were rained off, and I don't want to be in a position where we're trying to catch up with fixtures before the deadline. And we've got time, but it's at the back of your mind just now. If those fixtures can't be rearranged, we lose the points.
Still, we will come to the results from Friday night and talk more about the racing in just a moment, Stuart. A couple of major talking points though on the night. Let's first start with a pre-meeting disqualification of Monarchs guest Kyle Howarth, an all-action rider who all enjoy to see out on track, but on Friday, disqualified from even taking part in the meeting. And just before we comment further on it, you know, since Friday, there's now been a couple of public statements, notably from Kyle's clubs, Sheffield and Wolverhampton, which have subsequently confirmed that he did indeed fail a drugs test at Armadale on Friday, and that's what precluded him from lining up for the Monarchs. So before the wheels even start, disaster for the Monarchs.
Yeah, that was not good news, because we needed everybody functioning and there on the night, and to match up to Glasgow, because Glasgow had a full team, full strength, and they were the team in form. So we had to make sure that, you know, luck was going our way and everybody was riding reasonably well to actually compete with Glasgow. So to have Carl just missing for that that incident pre-meeting. It was a big blow, and heads dropped, admittedly, when we heard the news.
And drugs testing, of course, is a routine part now of Speedway, as it is for all professional sports. Certainly in the UK, it's a routine thing that riders have to participate in. The Sheffield statement mentions, and I quote, "Kyle has been taking medication in recent days to deal with illness and recent injuries." And you know, I've heard suggestions that he may have consumed an over-the-counter, well-known flu or cold remedy, and you know, fingers crossed that's exactly what it turns out to be. But a costly error, certainly by the rider, and Monarchs were made to pay for it on Friday.
Yes, there were a number of errors on the nights, which we'll go into later. But yes, that didn't start the evening off very well, and we never really recovered.
Well, let's go to the scoreline, and the final score on Friday night at Armadale was Edinburgh 43, Glasgow 45, an unusual scoreline, but both sides lost out on a point for a variety of reasons. So an away win for the Tigers at the home of their nearest rivals on Friday, and clearly, from an Edinburgh point of view, Stuart, you know, to lose at home, full stop, is bad news, but against your rivals for league points, it doesn't get much worse, does it?
Yeah, we can't afford to lose any points at home, and because we're struggling away and not really looking as though we're going to pick up even a point at any of our away meetings so far. So it's a worry. You know, we've already down 3 points at home now, and I don't know where we're going to get it back.
A couple of interesting stats, or so I think at least, in terms of heat advantages. It was a close affair. Edinburgh 3 heat advantages, Glasgow managed 4, which suggests, of course, a close scoreline, which it was. Heat wins, though, you know, from a home team point of view, a bit concerning, I would suggest. Edinburgh managed 5 heat winners to Glasgow's 10.
Yeah, that is a worry. We did have Ricky involved with Paul Stark in a bit of a first-band pile-up. And I think Ricky came off worst on that. He was riding in pain for the rest of the meeting and was not looking like himself at all. So, yes, it was not good.
You're doing well to even talk about it, Stuart. I do feel for you. I've been there, if I believe me. Looking at some of the scorers then from Friday night, Cameron Heaps, a sensational night for Cameron around Armadale, 15 points from 6 rides. And the Swedish duo for the Monarchs, Victor Palavara and Joel Anderson, 9 points apiece from 5 rides. Ricky Wells, as you mentioned, certainly feeling a bit second-hand, but he soldiered on to score 7 from 5 rides. And for Glasgow, Craig Cook, a flawless, I would imagine, 15-point maximum. And Kyle Bickley, what a bonus, what a trump card this young man has been at reserve for Glasgow, 10 points.
I can remember seeing him riding for Workington last season at Armadale, and he was all over the place. And he's really come on, and he looked like a heat leader on Friday nights, and I was most impressed with him.
And I mentioned the unusual scoreline. You know, Edinburgh lost a point to early doers, and a kind of controversial event. So my understanding is, so William Lawson scored a third place finish, I believe, in one of the heats, but was disqualified by the referee. After the race, I should say.
Yeah, after the race, it transpired that he used his second bike, and his second bike hadn't been examined. And all they examine is actually the cutoff to make sure it's working properly. But that was a mistake, a needless mistake, which, you know, we should have not made.
Yes, I'm sure it won't happen again, Stuart. And, yeah, a very eventful and dramatic night. The scoreline, Stuart, was a bit nip and tuck throughout, wasn't it? And at one point, Edinburgh banged in a 5-1 and a 5-0 in successive heats to take to surge into the lead. And at that point, I must admit, from a Glasgow point of view, I thought that perhaps we'd thrown this away.
Yeah, we went up by 6 points, and everything looked surprisingly rosy. So I was calculating the next few races and thinking, well, we need a few points here, we're going to drop one here. But in the end, we faltered, and Glasgow came back in the next 2 heats and really did well, held things together. They knew they had Craig Cook in the last 2 of the last 3 heats,
yep.
So that was guaranteed that they were going to get win those. But we just faltered at the last, and those those incidents. We didn't mention the Conor Coles incident where he thought the race ended on lap three while he was holding second place, and was most surprised when the two Glasgow riders rode straight past him.
These things happen if you miscount. But yes. Well, what can you say? A night clearly to forget for the Monarchs. A very eventful and dramatic night nonetheless at the Dale. Back-to-back Derby losses at home for the Monarchs this season. The chattiest home rider afterwards was spectator on the night, Josh Pickering. Graham Munsey first asked him for an injury update.
Yeah, shoulder's coming good, mate. I'd probably come back a little bit too early, but it wasn't because I felt like I was rushing it. I did feel okay. I feel the same as what I do now, but clearly it's just not bike fit yet. So I'll give it a couple more weeks. I'll be going to as many matches as I can, still keep hunger and take off where we left off.
And obviously, we spoke to you a couple of weeks ago. You admitted you're the worst spectator in the world. It can't help when you watch your teammates lose like they did tonight.
Yeah, well, mate, there's a couple little errors there that we can easily fix up. There was luck. There was bad luck for us. There was also bad luck for them. You know, we got that 5-0 and kept the match alive for us. But at the end of the day, when you're going up against the number one bowler box of Craig Cook, it's hard to compete with that. He's unbelievable on and off the track, I suppose. But, we just need to look at it. Glasgow are a very good side. And we lost the match by 2 points. Would have been better if we won by two. But for the Scottish Speedway fans, it was a very, very good, entertaining night. So that's, at the end of the day, that's what we need to do. We need to keep entertaining.
And I guess you have been on both sides of the pit, both sides of the pits after a match like that. As you mentioned there, it's just a case of dusting yourself down. It's not too long, obviously, 48 hours' time. We'll have been to Glasgow by then. The boys have just got to show what they're made of and give it a go there.
Mate, that's all it is. I have the attitude where I don't treat any match different, but we do need to step up as a team to, keep it alive. Like Glasgow on Sunday, it's a very big match. Last year, I think we won by 2 last year and we won by 10 there, So, again, it's more than capable. Anything can happen. I'm a big believer in that. So all that needs to happen now is that we go there on Sunday with a fresh head. I think Connor will ride that track a lot better. He likes to ride a bigger type track. So hopefully he can bang in a few points. Hopefully Willie needs to score in his reserve race and probably get another 1 or 2 points. That'll be great from him. But, the rest of the boys, Cam scored 15. Ricky, after that crash, he was riding with an injury the whole night. So hopefully that can get fixed up. But, he's more than capable. He goes very well at Glasgow. I think Cam will go very well at Glasgow. Joe will pop out the starts. Victor's a very good gator. So, the match is going to be interesting. It's definitely not written off. So I've got faith in him, but I just wish I was riding.
I was going to say, we've seen you out there with Alex Harkis most of the match. Definitely not looking for a move into management then.
Oh, I never know. Could have been worse. We might have got beat by more. But no, Alex just said to, give me a hand. So I was running back and forwards and I was be able to be out there. I could see what the bikes were doing. I'll get a bit better feel for the track. But I was just any information I could pass on to the boys. So yeah, it was good. I didn't mind it. I'll be doing the same on Sunday.
And obviously finish on maybe on a bit more a somber note. Well, no, one of your best mates in the sport, Richie Worrell. Richie had a horrible one at pool last night. Have you had a chance to speak to him at all?
Yeah, he called me when he was buzzing around the hospital last night. He was on all the happy gas, so he wasn't feeling a thing. But just for Rich, he just needs to keep positive. He's got a lot of good people around him. So, I'm a big believer in everything happens for a reason, even me sitting on the sideline at the moment. So Rich just needs to pick up where he left off as well. He said he was feeling good. He never felt so good around pool last night. So I feel for him in that respect. But I'm sure he'll be fine.
A great chat there, Stuart, as ever, with Joshy and Graham on Friday night. And he didn't sound overly gutted. In fact, very much more practical in highlighting the entertainment value on the night. But a call, I think, from Josh for some of his teammates to step it up.
Yeah, Josh always has plenty to say, and he's a very positive-minded person. He's absolutely right. During this time of trouble, that's when your fellow riders step up and cover for you. And Victor and Joel are doing that. We need some more input from the reserves. That's our real Achilles heel at the moment.
Yep. And as you'd expect, smiles on the faces of the red and white contingent on Friday night. Let's hear the reflections now from Glasgow co-promoter Michael Max.
Yeah, I think the key was Kyle Beckley at the bottom, scoring paid 11 points, which was massive for us. I think we tried to stress to him how important Heat 2 was to, from his confidence point of view and from trying to dent Willie and Connor's confidence. So he did a terrific job winning Heat 2, and I think that kind of set up his night and some massive points from him, especially in Heats 12 and 14.
Yeah, you mentioned that there. I mean, I guess it's if ever there was a respite for a young rider, it's make a decent gate and ride four steady laps, make the people behind you do the work.
That's it. He's got a lot of talent, Kyle. He's come on a ton this year. We watched him all through last year at Workington. He struggled throughout the start of the season, and then he finished with a little bit of a flurry. He started this season with a bang. He's very happy where he is. He's obviously got the recognition of the call up to the GB under 21 side. We needed him to start doing a little bit away from home, and tonight he's done just that.
And of course, matched at the top end, Craig Cook and his usual PRS form. I did a bit of research before the match, believe it or not, and I think that's 11.4 points Craig was averaging in the championship going into this match tonight. Just outrageous.
Yeah, he's a class act. He's by far and away the best Ashfield rider that we've had. I mean, Shane Parker, and best wishes to Shane, who's been through the wars recently. I think he's even got the better of Shane on the Ashfield Shale. He's absolutely immense to watch. He brings that everywhere, and he brings everyone along with him, and that's massive. We took the hit by putting Craig in the side and the average that he was on, knowing that we'd probably have an effect lower down the team, but I think the bonus what he brings us on and off the track is paying off.
And what seems to have been key, particularly away from the Tigers so far, is that any one of the riders is capable of popping it and winning a heat. You know, you look at Paul Stark, had accident his first one, pops out and wins the race. Rasmus Jensen looking for a heat win, his last race wins it. Heat 14, Klaus Wissen does the same. Come the end of the match, when the big heats, the riders step up. You know, that heat was at heats 8-9 or 9-10, the 5-0, the 5-1. A lesser team could have folded, but the Tigers battled on and got those 3 points.
Absolutely. It's the kind of team that so far we haven't had everybody kicking on the same night, but somebody always covers. If somebody has a reasonable night with maybe one good race and two or three bad ones, somebody else will step up. And as we said, it was Kyle tonight. But as you said, everybody popped up with a vital heat win at some point.
And if I'd asked you at the start of the season if we'd be sitting at the end of June unbeaten in the league, a Championship Shield semi-final, a KO Cup quarter-final, still in all three competitions, you'd have been a happy man.
Oh, absolutely delighted. I knew we had a good side. I didn't know how good, and the way things have panned out, where because of Kyle's at the bottom, I think we've got a better team than I think any of us dared hoped.
Michael Max, happy with life so far this season, clearly, and quite rightly, I think, singling out the efforts of young Kyle Beckley.
Yeah, he's got a lot to crow about just now, and his team are at full strength, functioning well, and banging in the results.
To yesterday afternoon then, Scottish Derby round two. On the back of Friday night's home loss, and with some additional injury concerns, it would not have been an overly optimistic Monarch side and support that travelled west to Ashfield Stadium. With league championship points on the line, both sides knew that a win was vital in the chase for a playoff place come September. Monarch's already committed to using rider replacement, were forced into switching that as number one Ricky Wells called off following the effects of his crash at Armadale on Friday night. Red car reserve Nathan Greaves was one of the very few riders, Stuart, to declared his availability to come to Monarch's rescue on Sunday.
Possibly the worst day to look for a guest. They were all occupied, and we just couldn't find a suitable replacement for Ricky. And we to go into the match with just one recognised heat leader, I feared the worst. Mm. I was praying for rain. I was praying for one of those thunderstorms to hit Ashfield. But alas, it didn't come.
It didn't come. But I want to ask you, actually, about just your views on the tactical decision. So on Friday night, had things run the way that Edinburgh had intended, Kyle Howarth was going to step in as a guest for Josh Pickering, of course. But my understanding is that was never going to be the case on Sunday. Edinburgh were quite content to run with rider replacement only. And I just wondered, you know, why a guest at home and not use a guest away from home, albeit on a track that the riders are familiar with?
I don't know the rationale behind that. When you're away from home, you need a full team, and because you're going to be working harder anyway because you're not used to the track, and you're going to be chasing the opposition more from the back, so you use up more effort, and so you need a full team. And I queried that that tactic, but maybe there wasn't anybody available. I don't know.
Well, perhaps it's that very reason, because as you mentioned already, Stuart, eight of the Championship sides were in action already on Sunday, and yeah, that could well have been a factor. In the end, though, and if I'm sounding extra chirpy this Monday night, then here's the reason. Final scoreline from yesterday afternoon was Glasgow 55, Edinburgh 35. Now, Stuart, we'll go and talk about the scorers and some of the performances in just a second, but despite that result, what pleased you most yesterday from an Edinburgh point of view?
Yeah, it was a good performance from a couple of people. Joel had his best match, away match for us, scoring 10+1. And then Victor continued his good form as well, scoring 8. Cameron Heaps was a wee bit below par, but he still scored 9+2. So, yeah, those three are really holding us together at the moment. And a good effort by Connor Coles, continuing his wholehearted effort on Friday. He was riding with a lot of spirit and a lot of commitment. So that's good to see.
You know, I like my stats, my analytical breakdown. So looking at Friday night, I know we're just about to talk about yesterday at Ashfield, but on Friday night, when you break down the heat leaders, second strings and reserves, the scorers on Friday, Glasgow 29, Edinburgh 22, second strings, Glasgow 6, Edinburgh 18, and the reserves, back to your point earlier, Stuart, Glasgow 10, Edinburgh 3, and it was a sort of similar tale at Ashfield yesterday.
Yeah, that's, as I mentioned earlier, our Achilles heel at the moment is our reserves. We lost Luke Ruddick a few weeks back through concussion, and he's still not right. He did have a tryout a week ago, and had dizzy spells afterwards, so you just can't muck around with concussion. So he's going to be out for an indeterminate time. So we've signed Connor Coles as a replacement for him. He's very keen to cement a place in the side in the future. So, yeah, we're in an interim period where there's a lot of new faces coming into the side, and we just got to get the team back to where it should be.
Heat winners at Ashfield yesterday, Glasgow 13 heat winners, Edinburgh only 2 heat winners, and heat advantages, Glasgow 8, Edinburgh 1. Stuart, Monarch's mid-term report card time for you. So here we are now into July, as we've already mentioned.
That's unfair. Come on.
Oh, that's why you're here. That's why you get the big money to come into this studio, Stuart. And, you know, there's been some, particularly after Friday night, there's been some criticism within the Monarch support, as there is across, you know, each support of every club in the land when things aren't going wonderfully well. But my question to you is, you know, here we are into July now, things could be better, clearly. If you were the Edinburgh promotion, I know you're not, but if you were, would you stick or would you twist?
I have a lot of faith in the riders. We've just got to, as I say, keep the faith, hold our nerve, see the test through. There's still time to make up ground. The guys will come good. And I believe that they will make up the deficit they've incurred so far. So now I will urge the promotion not to make any rash changes unless they're absolutely necessary, because 9 times out of 10 they don't tend to work.
And you can ride yourself back into some scoring form. Can't
yeah,
you?
Yeah. And my view is, you know, a lot of the riders have had their bad luck early. So they're due some good luck now.
So 4 derby wins out of 4 so far this season for Glasgow. All the sweeter this weekend, given that that was 6 league points banked in the push for that playoff spot. Whilst it's glory for the red and white in the west, clearly a rough weekend for the blue and gold brigade in the east. Misfortune, yes. Battling performance, yes. But the league table, I guess, shows the difference between the sides at this moment in time. Let's hear your thoughts, Glasgow and Edinburgh fans. After the break, we will look ahead to a big week for Glasgow Tigers as they battle with Redcar Bears in the Cup and visit Birmingham in between. Berwick Bandits travel east to East Lincolnshire to face Scunthorpe, and Edinburgh venture to the south coast, Eastbourne. Back in 2.
Love music. Live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.
This is Tapes Up on air each Monday night on Rock Sport Radio. Remember that you can listen again to tonight's show and play back each show as the season progresses via podcast, accessible from the Rock Sport website, else from your favourite podcast app, inclusive of iTunes and Spotify. So, on the back of that Derby success this weekend, Glasgow are preparing for a busy old week as they travel to Redcar for a Knockout Cup quarter-final first leg tomorrow night. On to Birmingham in the league on Wednesday night before settling that quarter-final against the Bears at Ashfield this Friday. A busy schedule, Stuart, not counting any other race commitments that some of the riders may well have, of course, this week. But as we keep hearing, that's exactly the way the riders like it.
Yeah, I think they like to be racing rather than not. So with those succession of fixtures that Glasgow have, I think it would be just what they need.
So let's first examine then Tigers' prospects against Redcar in the Knockout Cup. The Bears managed to see off Somerset in the previous round, while Tigers knocked Sheffield out of this season's Knockout Cup. Considering the quality of the opposition, those are great efforts actually by both clubs. Sheffield and Somerset are no mean feat to beat them.
No mean feat. I think Somerset and Sheffield would have been one of the favourites, if not the favourites, for along with Leicester. So very, very notable scalps for both sides.
And an unusual Tuesday night fixture at Redcar tomorrow night. Bears look pretty solid around their home circuit, as Edinburgh discovered a number of weeks ago. Tigers will really need to be at their best to keep up with and keep close to Messrs Pamtoft, Wright and Jordan Stewart, scoring really well for them.
Yeah, much underrated team. And we've got, obviously, Edinburgh's got recent experience of them home and away. And they were very unlucky not to get a point at Armadale. It was only a last gasp third place by Ricky in the Heat 15. We managed to get beyond the 49 points.
Yeah, and you mentioned some of the riders. You look at that lineup: Charles Wright, Tom Bacon, Ulrich Ostergaard has joined them recently. Jordan Stewart, Michael Pamtoft, Nathan Greaves, and Jack Smith. Look no further than last Friday night. The Leicester Lions, the all-conquering Leicester Lions side, visited Redcar in the Championship and were sent packing on the end of a 48-42 defeat. Still a point, of course, for the Lions, but that's their lowest away score, remarkably, this season. Michael Pamtoft scored 12 points, Charles Wright 10, Nathan Greaves, who we've seen at Ashfield racing for the Monarchs yesterday, 7 points, and Ulrich Ostergaard, recently introduced as replacement for Ben Barker, yet to set the track alight in Redcar, only 5 points.
Yeah, he's yet to set the heather on fire, but he's a solid, middle of the team performer, a solid second string. So he's good for 7 or 8 points a match.
Well, a little bit of prep, Stuart. I was trying to work out the Redcar average score at home this season, which I worked out to be 49 points from 6 meetings in all competitions, and they're scoring, or they're averaging about 41 points away from home, which actually surprised me. Glasgow averaging round about 52 points at home and 44 away, but that would suggest, especially on the back of that result over Leicester on Friday, it would suggest that on aggregate this could actually go the distance.
I think Glasgow are marginally ahead just now, so if they don't have any mishaps, they should get through by about 6 points. But nothing is, guaranteed.
Certainly not in speed. Well, looking ahead to a big week for his side, Brian Copeland picked up the thoughts of Glasgow team manager Cammy Brown.
We have been good in the road so far, but that's because we've put a massive amount of effort in, so the boys need to do the same again, or we won't get anything on the trip. So and that's not what we plan. We're planning to go and cause some damage, just get some points, and do well enough on Tuesday first in the cup match to make the home match on Friday something we can look forward to, try and get through in the tie. It's just about getting through the tie. For once, I'm not actually worried if we lose on Tuesday, as long as we don't lose by too many, but we don't want to lose, obviously. Wednesday's a big league match away from home, which we need to get points away from home if we want to keep up with the teams above us, and that's what we're aiming to do.
How do you avoid complacency in matches like these? Because Redcar and Birmingham maybe aren't seen by some fans as being the strongest outfits in the league, but I suppose that's where you could come a cropper.
Well, Leicester are seen as one of the strongest teams, and they lost at Redcar last week, so that gives us enough warning. And Birmingham, look a weaker team, but they're at their own track. Most of our riders haven't been there for a long time, so it takes time to adapt sometimes. So we've got to be fully professional and go there with the same attitude we've had all season. The boys have been great. I mean, I think that's 10 matches unbeaten now. We want to keep that run going. It's a tremendous run, and we don't want to stop. We want winning. Winning's infectious, and we've been infected with winning, so we want to keep it going, and we'll try everything to do that.
When it comes to the KO Cup matches, obviously it's over two legs, and we have been particularly strong at home this season. That stands us in good stead, I suppose, of facing any team over two legs.
Yep. Yeah, it does. But last season, I remember going to Redcar a league match, and we struggled. We managed to sneak a point in the end, but we struggled, in a lot of ways. So we need to be respectful. They've had some good results at home, and we need to go there firing on all cylinders. We need to keep the match close enough for the Friday. It's just about that match is about getting through the tie. We just want to get through the tie, progress to the semi-finals. That's the aim. Wednesday night's an even, in a way, a bigger match for us, because the league's the important one. But the cups are, don't get me wrong, we take the cups just as important. But it's a two-legged tie, so we can, if we lose slightly on Tuesday, as long as we do enough to pull it back on Friday, that's all that matters. But we want to win on Tuesday, and then we go on to Birmingham on Wednesday, and we can see what we can do.
I know it can be dangerous to make calculations and think that we've already done enough to make playoffs and things like that. But if we win on Wednesday, that makes it three wins on the road. You start to look in a very good position as the if you look further ahead in the season and in terms of qualifying for those playoffs.
Yes, I suppose, Brian, but I don't really want to look that far ahead. We've got a long way to go first. But I'm really pleased with the start we've had, and everybody's been coming up saying partners in the back. We don't want that. We're only sort of a third, getting on for halfway through the season. We need to keep pushing on this and keep focused on the goals ahead. And if we win on Wednesday away, that'd be a great result. Don't get me wrong, I'd be over the moon. But let's take it one match at a time, the old adage. And as I said many times before, Glasgow aren't a club that go anywhere expecting to lose anymore, and they never will. As long as the Fezenas are here and the management structure are here, we'll never go looking to lose a match away from home. So the fans are going down. Believe it, we'll be trying 100% in both matches. You better believe it.
There's a lot of focus on Craig Cook's ability on the track, and I'm sure he'll be looking to score big points again this week. But what does he bring at away meetings in particular off the track in terms of his experience?
Well, the best thing about Craig Cook away from home is within a race, he's always out in heat one. Within a race, he can gauge how the track is and pass it on to the other riders. I don't ride a speedway bike. Previous manager didn't ride a speedway bike. No managers ride speedway bikes, very few. And he can pass that knowledge on. And it's only when you've ridden the track you can pass the knowledge on. You can do as many track walks as you want, you get a feel for a track. But until you ride the bike in it, and Craig's very good at passing that down the line and helping the lads, and Klaus and Paul and all the boys pull together. And that's what we need. We need everyone to pull together. And we've got a good chance of winning anywhere. I don't expect us to lose anywhere at all. And that's the aim.
And finally, as we saw today, Paul Stark with a fantastic performance after a slow start with that at last. He goes into again unbeaten after that by an opponent. What kind of role can Paul play? Because he's always seen as that kind of make or break rider, where if he really ups his game, we're going to be very difficult to beat.
Paul's massive for us. I was out, had dinner with him last night, and told him so many times over dinner how talented that he really is, and he's got to believe in himself. Now, he was riding today he was injured. And people saw how good he was today. That's him injured. When he's not injured and he's full of confidence and he's a far better rider than his average suggests he is. And today he's getting there. He's beginning to turn the corner, and he's massive for the club. He's a fourth heat leader when the chips are down, and Paul's riding well. We can have one of our top three guys maybe not have the best day, and we can still pull through if Paul does a performance like he had today. I thought he was magnificent. I actually thought, Craig's he's a phenomenon. I thought Paul was a man of the match for us, to be honest. And I said that to him afterwards. I'll need to take him for more curries, I think.
A cautiously optimistic Cammy Brown talking to Brian Copeland there, Stuart. And Cammy these days, when he's interviewed, he routinely sounds like he's having to deal with a high level of expectation as Tigers team manager.
Well, it's not without justification, because they are doing really well. I think they haven't lost their last five or six meetings, and they're on a roll. So what you want to do in that situation is keep it going.
Mm-hmm. And Cammy, there, you wouldn't be drawing on identifying a particular scoreline to achieve at Redcar tomorrow night. But I mean, he actually mentioned that, you know, if we came away chasing down a deficit, that might not be too much of a concern to him. But I just fear a little bit. I think Redcar are a much better side, and they're fairly sturdy at reserve. Nathan Greaves, Jack Smith, have been fairly solid for them around their own track, and they know Ashfield pretty well.
Yeah, and I think in this situation, most teams say if you can keep it within 10 points away from home, then you've got a chance in the second leg. I fully expect Glasgow to keep it within that margin.
So certainly not any formality on Wednesday night, as confirmed by Cammy Brown in interview earlier. Tigers will have marked down this trip as at least as a could win, if not a must win, although the Brummies are certain to raise their game in order to repel the Scottish side on Wednesday night. Still, perhaps one of the better opportunities for Glasgow to go close, I'd suggest. A cracking night of Speedway should be on the cards. We'll take time to analyse what happened on next week's show. Well, I mentioned an action-packed week ahead, and let's continue with our previews now. As Glasgow are battling with Redcar at Ashfield on Friday night, at Scunthorpe, Berwick Bandits will venture south in their latest bid to get back on track and take a vital away win in the Championship. The home side Scorpions appear to be back to full strength, having now secured man of many clubs Ben Barker as a short-term injury replacement for the currently sidelined Jason Garrity. Bandits will look to take something from the meeting on a circuit they performed well on last season. First of all, Stuart, the Scorpions, perhaps an award due to them as the most resilient side in the Championship this season.
Most resilient, yeah, they certainly are. And I've enjoyed watching them. They apart from their visit to Armadale, where they lost by a record score, but they had a number of reasons for that. Jason Garrity didn't turn up, and they had a weakened side after a few incidents during the meeting. So that aside, they are a very resilient side, and I wouldn't sort of dismiss them out of hand. I think Berwick are in for a bit of a match against them.
Well, a man with a keen interest on Friday night is Tapes Up very own guru of everything black and gold, Gary Tate. Good evening, Gary. First off, disappointment then at the Bandits not having had the chance to restore some confidence on Saturday night.
Yes, absolutely. You know, obviously we were disappointed to go out of the Championship Shield at the semi-final stage last week, and even more so to lose the meeting at home to Leicester. So yes, it would have been an opportunity last night to have had a home meeting and get some of that confidence back, as you say.
And attention turns, of course, to Friday night. We've mentioned already that Scunthorpe have made some changes ahead of this week, announcing a double change. In fact, Ben Barker, recently released by Redcar, coming in to cover for Jason Garrity, and the experienced Simon Lambert, released by Newcastle a few weeks ago, replacing the recently retired Josh Bailey. Makes Berwick's task all the harder, surely, Gary?
Yes, it certainly could do. When you look at Jason and Ben, I think you're talking two fairly even kind of riders in terms of the scoring potential. But obviously, Scunthorpe have been covering for Jason since he hurt himself. I think it was at the British semi-final. So they've been doing that job anyway. But with Ben coming in, you know what you get with Ben. He's an all-action guy. He doesn't give up. And turning to Simon Lambert, I think, no disrespect to Josh Bailey, but certainly Simon is an experienced campaigner to be sitting at reserve, so that will be, I think, a slightly stronger position for Scunthorpe there. And when you kind of align that with, you know, Josh Otte, Jay Callan, Stephen Nielsen and Sean Danny Ayres, fairly formidable at home. I know that Scunthorpe's not got a bad record at home just now, but I know they've been winning, you know, fairly tight meetings, so I'll be kind of hoping that Berwick can go down there and give them a good count of themselves, and I still think they can run them close. But yes, I think probably the changes have made that task a little bit more difficult.
Absolutely, and you know, off track, Gary, there's been some criticism, as it tends to be among supporters of each club in the Championship from time to time, of some of the away performances, in particular of Danny Gapmeier and Nikolai Busk-Jacobson, with the exception, of course, of his score at Eastbourne earlier in the season, and even Cody Garcia. I just wondered, you know, with your finger on the pulse, is that something you detect, Gary, that those riders in particular away from Shieldfield Park are under a little bit of attack from some sections of the support?
I'm not sure attack would be a word that I use. And I think when you look at Danny, take Danny first, Danny's very good at home. He's usually very strong and known for maybe not being as high a scorer away. I think the best he's managed this season so far was a paid 14 at Sheffield, which was a cracking score. But other than that, I think he's been fairly low with a few zeros, maybe 3 or 4 points there or thereabouts. And turning to Nicolai started like a train, and he had to have tailed off a little bit in that regard in terms of his scoring away and at home. I know he's been a very busy man over the opening weeks of the season. Whether there's mechanical or potentially physically feeling the strain, I don't know. But Nicolai's better, much better than his scores certainly away from home suggest. And in turning to Cote, he again started the season like a train. However, he has had a couple of fairly nasty falls, and as far as I'm aware, I think he's back to be fully fit, but it might take him a couple of weeks to maybe get his scoring back. But I'd certainly like to see him go back to what he was like at the start of the season.
And I like to put you on the spot, Gary. A score prediction from Friday night?
Oof. Score prediction? I'm usually quite optimistic when it comes to Berwick, but obviously the form's been a little bit shaky on the road, so I would like a point. So at the very least, a 48-42 defeat would be acceptable. We'll get a point from some sort, but I would take a draw or a win any day of the week.
They're a realistic but quietly optimistic sounding Gary Tate, and he would like nothing better than, as would Bandits fans, for to see his team recover from that recent home defeat, albeit that was in the knockout cup, and pick up an away win at Scunthorpe on Friday.
Yeah, and I'd like to see them do it, because I have a bit of a soft spot for Berwick. I think they deserve some success.
So Bandits then looking for a standout performance at Scunthorpe this Friday night. An away point must be considered as within reach, although looking at the Scorpions' comfortable win over Eastbourne on Friday suggests that it will be a very tough night indeed to achieve even that. Should be a cracker. We will discuss how it all went next week. This Saturday, we'll see Edinburgh make their longest trek of the season as they visit deepest Sussex, Eastbourne's Arlington Stadium to be precise. Since losing back-to-back home meetings by a single point to Leicester and Glasgow, the Eagles have additionally had to overcome the severe injury blow at losing young talent Tom Brennan for the rest of the season. Stuart, since then, Eastbourne have scored an average, I worked out, of 60 points a meeting over the last 3 or 4 home meetings, which is not the best news as Edinburgh gets set to travel there.
Are you trying to cheer me up?
Is it working?
Yeah, at the start of the season, I knew we would have to go there with a full team to compete. I'm not expecting much from it, to be quite honest, unless we get a decent guest. And we're still missing Josh, who would have done extremely well around there. So it would be lucky if we get a point. If we keep it within 12 points, we would have done well.
You're so defeated, Stuart. What's happened to you? You're a deflated man.
I've had a bad week.
but you mentioned, isn't it ironic? Josh Pickering is the only Edinburgh rider, I believe, perhaps it's apart from Connor Coles, to have ridden Arlington this season. He scored 11 points guessing for Leicester a couple of months ago, and I'm sure Monarchs could certainly have done with his contribution. And fingers crossed, Monarchs will hope that Ricky Wells declares himself fit to ride.
Yeah, fingers crossed, toes crossed, everything crossed that we have Ricky back, because we need him back.
Well, let me try and give you some encouragement. Connor Coles scored what was a match-winning 6-point contribution for Glasgow when Tigers won there earlier in the season. See him again from reserve would do very nicely, Stuart.
Yeah, I'm thoroughly impressed with Connor, and if he can do that for us again, and William can pick up a few more points, then we'll have a chance. If our reserves can top, say, 10 points, we've got a chance.
Well, I'm going to give you some further encouragement, Stuart, because with Eagles having just returned to the Championship after a number of seasons, Arlington is a bit of an unknown quantity for most riders. However, of all the circuits in the Championship, I think it's reasonable to suggest that Armadale and Arlington are not poles apart, are they?
Well, I have personal experience of obviously Edinburgh and Eastbourne. I used to go down to Eastbourne quite often, and you're absolutely right. The tracks are very, very similar, and I would expect the Edinburgh riders will have their bikes set up for that track very well because it's very similar.
You're sounding much perkier already, Stuart.
I'm just trying to put a positive spin on it, basically.
Quite right, too. But listen, you know, I thought I'd be scientific. So as an absolute latest barometer of Eagles' home form, it was on Sunday, yesterday, Eastbourne and Leicester competed in the Knockout Cup, albeit it was a weakened Leicester side without Richie Worrell and Josh Bates. Final score at Arlington was Eastbourne 57, Leicester 33. Top scorers for Eastbourne. It wasn't Richard Lawson on 12. It wasn't Lewis Kerr with 10. It wasn't Edward Kennett on 8. It was our number 7, Georgie Wood, who romped to a 15-point score.
Oh, my
just
God.
Just in time for the Monarchs.
There's similarities there. Leicester going there with a weakened team and being absolutely lunched. So I don't expect us to do much better.
There might be a thunderstorm or something. You never know. So an extremely tough assignment. You know, in all seriousness, an extremely tough assignment for the Monarchs this Saturday night. They will hope and expect to reintroduce, hopefully, number one Ricky Wells to the side. And a waypoint must be considered as a... In fact, I was going to say a great result. It would be an amazing result. I would suggest, without being unkind to your team, Stuart, to bring something back to Armadale. Let's see, though, how Edinburgh managed to cover for Josh Pickering on Saturday night, which could hold the key of being able to take anything back up north. On next week's show, of course, we will analyse in much detail how it all went. So an action-packed week ahead, Stuart. We've talked about Glasgow's trips to Redcar and Birmingham and the return fixture at Ashfield on Friday night, Berwick to Scunthorpe on Friday, and your own Monarchs down to deepest Sussex to Eastbourne on Saturday night. Let's have a look, a reminder again of the start times for anyone who might want to attend any of those fixtures. And in our new traditional way in 2019, let's have a few score predictions as well, Stuart. So let's start then. Tomorrow night, Tapes Up 7:30, Redcar versus Glasgow, Knockout Cup quarter-final, first leg. Stuart Wilson.
I think it's going to be... True to form, I think Redcar will get to 49 points. So it'll be 49-41.
49-41, well, that's very close to my prediction. 48 to Redcar, 42 to Glasgow. If either of us are correct, I would settle for either score to give Tigers a chance on Friday night. Let's move on to Wednesday. Tapes up at Perry Barr Stadium, 7:30pm, Birmingham versus Glasgow in the Championship.
I think it'll be 46-44 to Glasgow.
46-44 to Glasgow, says Stuart Wilson. Well, I've said Birmingham 43, Glasgow 47. Fingers crossed. I think it will be tight, and that's the key prediction. I think it's going to be tight. Glasgow certainly aren't going to romp it, and hopefully we can just get ourselves another 3 league points. Would be lovely on Wednesday night. To Ashfield Stadium, then, Tapes Up 7:30 this Friday night. The deciding quarter KO Cup quarter final tie, Glasgow Redcar.
50-40 to Glasgow.
50-40, which is that a 2 or 4 point aggregate that's win you're predicting for the Tigers?
That's a 4, yeah.
Well, I've gone 51-39 to Glasgow. I think buoyed by that performance against Edinburgh yesterday, you know, Glasgow will be full of confidence. It'll be a bit travel weary come Friday night, but I think Tigers, hopefully, touching wood, will sneak through to the semi-finals. Not by a lot though, and I think this tie could go the distance. Friday night then at down in East Lincolnshire, Scunthorpe versus Berwick in the Championship.
Interesting one this. I think it'd be Scunthorpe by 10.
Scunthorpe by 10. Well, I'm giving the Bandits a point. 48-42 to Scunthorpe. I think a gritty performance by the Bandits to secure a point would be the order of the day. And then Saturday night, this will be an interesting one. Saturday night, 7:30, Tapes Up down in Arlington Stadium in the Eastbourne versus Edinburgh in the Championship.
It'll be postponed waterlogged track.
You wish, you wish. Well, assuming it's not, Stuart, assuming it's not, what scoreline? What scoreline do you think you'll go to bed with on Saturday night?
I'm going to say it will be 48-42 to Eastbourne.
48-42, well, I'm... I'm going to go 55-35, as it was at Ashfield yesterday.
You swine.
Thank you very much. So, Speedway fans out there, how do you see things going this week? Get involved with the show via Facebook and Twitter. Post your thoughts and opinions against any of the club posts which promote Tapes Up here on Rock Sport Radio, or start your own. That's our quota of Speedway chat for this week, Stuart Wilson. Time to throttle back and pull in that clutch. A lot of good ground covered once again, and a few laughs along the way. So thanks very much for your company and your input in the studio once again.
And don't forget the Caledonian Riders Championship at Edinburgh on Friday night.
Well said, that man. Well said, that man. My thanks again to Graeme Munsey, Brian Copeland and Gary Tate for interviews featured tonight. Please keep across all the social media output from each of the Scottish sides and visit the official club websites for forthcoming fixture news. If you haven't been to watch live Speedway before, or not in a while, what are you waiting for? Get yourself trackside this very week. Until next time, enjoy your week and your Speedway. Good night.
Good night.
Love music. Live sport. Tapes Up with Derek Smith and special guests on Rock Sport Radio.